telling you what, when I was a kid, I sure didn't like to see opening school day, but I'm wanting to kind of see it because the kids will bring the parents back. And we'll start seeing the crowd coming back maybe inside of God's house here. It's been kind of thinned down. Everybody that I guess could take a vacation and get away from this hot weather, they did it. And so we'll be kind of looking forward to some of them coming back. Well, we finished up the book of Revelation and got in the book of 1 John. And we're right about the end of the first chapter of the book of 1 John, little book. Of course, the same author. God is the author of the Bible, but he used men and he used John. John wrote five books in the Bible. And of course, the last one we studied there was the book of Revelation. So we're going to go through. He wrote the longer book, the Gospel. Sometimes we say the Gospel of John. It's the Gospel of Jesus written by John. And then we have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so 1st John here, about five chapters, and then the others even, of course, shorter. And a lot of folks say, well, John writes all about love. Yes, he does. But you'd be surprised right here in this little book of 1st John how diversified he can get also. For instance, we love to study prophecy around here. That's why we were teaching the book of Revelation verse by verse. But John also has some prophetical things to say, even in 1 John. Of course, he had not, when he wrote 1 John, he had not written Revelation. That was the last one he wrote. And you find the word Antichrist, though, in the book of 1 John, I think four or five times mentioned by John. When we get to Revelation, we studied about him in Revelation 13, about his number and his kingdom that he's building. We see it building today. He was not called Antichrist in the book of Revelation. He was called the beast. In the book of Daniel, prophetical book, he's called the little horn. Paul, the apostle, called him the man of sin. So he's got several different names he's called by that helps us to identify him through the book. And John is the one that calls him Antichrist. And we'll get to that when we get to the verses that he mentions on it. But I want you to open your Bible to the first chapter. It's a comforting book, especially in the times we live in. It deals with the family of God. It deals with being in God's family. It's a personal, as it were, deeper thing that you and I can be thankful about. We look around today, and by the way, the world is becoming more identified as you've ever seen it before. It's so sad, but we're seeing the evil crowd, and of course they're the ones got the biggest loudspeakers. They're the ones that are getting the news out, and they're pushing their agenda. And it would make us think, if we're not careful, that and they are seemingly winning, and I think they are among the flesh and the devil's crowd. But at the same time, they're not the winners. They're not going to win in the end, amen. And if we're not careful, we'll let them bluff us into thinking and shut us up where we could speak up for the Lord we're fearful to if we're not careful. That's the age we're moving into. Brother Perkins mentioned a while ago, you ought to know something about who you're voting for, what they stand for, what they represent, because we're in a big age of deception like never, ever before, and they're deceiving on purpose. They say, well, what about the open borders and all this? That's no accident. All of that stuff is by plan. It's to bring down America, and that's what is happening. That's all by plan. And the rest of the stuff we could identify, the homosexual movement trying to take over, that's no accident. That's by plan. All of that kind of stuff. We joke around about it. Of course, the president was in the news this week. He announced he had cancer, and before he could get that out of his mouth, they decided he had COVID. Now, I'm a skeptic about things, and his ratings are getting so low, and even his own liberal crowd turning on him, to makes you wonder how they're planning to get rid of him. I'm sorry, I'm just a skeptic. About some of the stuff you hear. Somebody said he's got COVID. I said, well, was it CIA induced? Some of you figure out what I just said. But watch out. You're being lied to so much about so many things till it's hard to know. By the way, and I pulled out the first page. You can get it right back there on the counter. There is these good papers that we have delivered to us as a church. We have the revival fires. We have the sword of the Lord. And you'd be well to read them really every month as they come out. This would be the July 8th paper of the sword of the Lord. I just ripped the first page of it off back there. And it has noteworthy news. That's a section in it. And it's got a lot of good stuff, good sermons and other things. Now, it starts off here with one good thing. I praise God for this. The good governor that got elected in Virginia, Governor Glenn Youngston, had him pass a law defining religion as including outward expression, not just belief. Now see, the far left liberal crowd, anti-God crowd, says we don't care what you believe as long as you don't say anything, as long as you don't take a stand on anything. So he passed a good law here saying religion does also live in the expression. We have a right to express it. I'm proud of that. But if you go on down through that news, which you just flip over the page, there's a lot of bad stuff in here. Most of you are not going to hear this. If you watch the Fox News channel, you'll come near getting some truth. But even they are having to be awful careful. Here's one right here. Starts on the front page. PCUSA, that's the Presbyterian Church of America, USA. That's the big Presbyterian group. Far to the left of us, of course. Launches this ministry of this Presbyterian Church USA, and I'm saying, aren't you afraid you'll get sued? No, because it's the truth. I remember when a big preacher told me years ago when I was fussing about abortion that he'd sue me. I said, please do. Let's get it in the news. And he backed off. I really wanted him to. And I'm still of that mindset. Anyway, this ministry they're launching now is called Querying. Querying, like the word queer, querying the Bible. Now, it's already been done in the NIV. They left out sodomite and all the other words that condemned homosexuality. But they want to queer the Bible. It's a project aimed at creating some new theology. I'm reading it here. You can read it right out of the paper. You can get it and take it home with you if there's some left back there. And so it goes on with the detail about how they're going to go through. And, well, like I say, they already got so many perverted versions out now, you can already get that. But now they're going to do it up even bigger. What they're saying is people like me and you that believe the old Bible and the Word of God that condemns that stuff, they're trying to offset that. Then here's one that'll get a little closer home to you. And this has got backup on it, so you can read it. You take this to your doctor if you want to. Why don't you get it and take it to him? Here's the title of it. COVID shots causing monstrous clots. COVID shots causing monstrous clots. Dr. Ryan Cole, a Mayo, you know about Mayo Clinic, don't you? Mayo trained, board certified pathologist and owner of the largest independent diagnostic laboratory in Idaho is finding an alarming number of large blood clots that have appeared where the COVID shot is rolled out or taken. And seem to be present, these clots, present only in those people who have received the injectors. Now, don't raise your hand. You better pray if you had it. I didn't take it. I'm a little bit prejudiced about what I put in. I want to know about it. Amen. You might not admit it. My mother used to say, Mickey is nicey nasty. Anybody know what that means? She meant I was strained at a gnat, brother. I mean, I wanted it clean, and I still do. All right, I get off on that real easy. But This is dangerous stuff, folks. This is out of the big lie that has, they're apparently not in step with the liberal propaganda. And it goes on to describe these clots. I mean, scary talk right here in a short article, one paragraph. You could put it in your billfold here. They're very small. Listen to this. One embalmer, this, you know about embalming, don't you? You're from the Egyptian pharaohs to the funeral home now. All right, I'm messing with you, but respond and I'll move on. One embalmer with 11 years of experience revealed that 93% of her recent cases died due to the clots from the COVID shot. I know it's probably on the radio by now. Help yourself out there. I took a stand, and we even lost a few church members over it. Oh, yeah. Kind of strange how people could trust God with their soul and couldn't trust Him with COVID. Right? Kind of strange when folks, all of a sudden, I love God, but not enough to go to church when the government told me not to. All right, I'm meddling again. But I've already told you, you can't fire me. You ever hear that saying, you can't fire me, I quit? All right, I'm joking around with you some. Dr. Cole says that the shots are neither safe nor effective. All right. I could read some other stuff. I am proud of the few ball players over here on the Tampa Bay baseball team that refused to wear the LGBTQ rainbow pride colors. Most of the sports teams have caved on that, and they're doing all that. But thank God the Rays didn't. I pray God will let them win a game or two. Amen? All right, I could keep going. You can get this and read it. That's why we have it back there. We want you to read it. And this was July the 8th. There's probably been another one out already. Anyway, folks, we're in a time when the crowd is divided between somebody that believes in God, cares what God thinks, and the crowd that's totally anti-God now. It is obvious, very obvious to look out and to see that. I'm proud of our governor here in the state of Florida. I saw him interviewed on the Laura Engel show, and he didn't cut any punches. He told it just like it was. See, there's a crowd out there still wants to put the mask back on the school kids. Separate them, not let them come to school without it. And they have hurt education. They have set back for 10 years almost in the study of where kids would be. I mean, the 2 years messed up, they'll never gain it back. Even, you know that story. It's been really, really, really bad. And it's sad that it's that way. You know, I saw where the president was threatening. He's threatening now because we're in a climate crisis. Can I deviate from the lesson? Y'all know I'm not in no hurry, don't you? Amen. Go all the way back to the first book in the Bible. I want to show you something. I'm sure you know it's there, but do us good to read it again. Go all the way back to the first book. Hold your place here. Hold your place. Go all the way back to Genesis. Page 1, 2, 3, keep on turning until you get to chapter 8. Chapter 8, the book of Genesis. Everybody with me? Amen. You did find the first book, didn't you? All right. You watch me. I'm in a bad mood this morning. It's dangerous. Genesis chapter 8. The flood has taken place. The flood has ended. The ark has landed. God, who shut the door of the ark and shut them in there, is now letting them out, and he's giving them some instruction. So I'm going to look for it in chapter 8 right here. See if I can find it. All right, the end of chapter 8. Let's pick it up in verse 20 and read on down through 22. Amen. End of chapter 8 of Genesis. God's talking here about to Noah. It says in verse 20, and Noah build an altar. He's got off the boat now. He's building an altar to God. Build an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Remember, God had Noah let more clean beasts on the ark, and part of it was this worship here, sacrifice. Verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. By the way, man's heart hadn't changed. If anything, it's gotten worse. Evil from his youth. Now here's the verse I want you to look at. Verse 22, the last one. While the earth remaineth. Now that's the context. That takes us all the way from where God is speaking to Noah, right on to where we're living, right on past where we're living. While the earth remaineth, however much longer that is, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Do we understand that? Planting the crop and harvesting the crop. Seed time and harvest. Do we understand farmers do that on certain times of the year? They plant certain times of the year, they harvest, right? And cold and heat. Now we understand that in Florida. We don't get much cold, we get a lot of heat. But it's always been that way in Florida. And cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Where is your climate change, Mr. Biden? Where is your crisis? The Creator said it was going to stay the same as long as earth remains. So you want to use that excuse to keep us from flying airplanes and driving cars. Did you see in Holland where they want them to kill the cows? I believe Marvin was talking with me about that this morning, wanting to kill the cows. Now, I'm going to delicately say something. The cows pollute the environment with the gas they pass. So we've got to kill them off. Now, I'm not against killing a cow when I want a barbecue. But this is stupid, stupid stuff that's going on. They want to take your car. They want to do all this crazy stuff and teaching our kids this from the kindergarten on up. They want to starve the people. Listen, the methods of control of the population is fear. We saw that in the COVID thing. It's also control the food. It's also to control your mobility. You know, when we drive up to see the grandkids in West Virginia, that's a pretty good trip. And I've taken note that it's costing a lot more now, so with the gas prices going crazy. Now you got to stop and figure whether you can make that trip or not. Wherever you're going, they're going to control your mobility. They would far rather you would ride a little battery-operated scooter, and maybe just go a half mile here or there. Oh, yeah. As dumb as it is, there is a plan behind it. And that plan is control. That plan is bringing the Antichrist kingdom. That plan is control the population. And I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, and we are guilty of participating in it unawares often. And not much you can do about it. You got to go to the grocery store. I asked my wife yesterday, she stopped at the grocery store and come out with a gallon of milk and something else. And I said, what's the price of it today? Inflation. You see, inflation's a hidden tax. If the dollar don't buy as much as it used to, you might as well consider that you're paying a tax on that thing. It's all control. Now, I'm a red-blooded American, and not many of us left like they seem to be used to be. But it's not my first rodeo. I've seen these jerks fool us before and pull their tricks before. So I just don't fall for them. And I'm probably, if I'm going to err, and maybe sometime to the fact my wife thinks I might overdo it, I may be a little bit hypercritical of things, suspicious. I joked about where Biden's COVID come from a while ago. Maybe more sense to that than the joke. It just stuff happens. And you find out later somebody was conned, somebody lied, somebody set a trap, and all that stuff. So anyway, with all that said, I'm glad I can open up a book like 1 John and find out I don't even belong to the family that's ruling down here. I belong to God's family. I'm in the group I want to be in. I said this before, and I'm kind of fooling around a little bit this morning, but when I was a young man born on the farm, my brother and I, we claimed we owned the chickens. We named them. We knew where all the hidden nests were. We knew which rooster would get you and which one you could outrun. Anybody ever had a rooster get you? They'd get you. Things like that. And one thing I noticed, though, was that when an old mother hen hatched out a bunch of little chicks, and they're pretty little things, but now that little yellow feathers on them, they get ugly when they become teenage chickens. Right? What do we call them, pullets or something? They're just not mature yet. You school teachers, you got to remember some patience there. They haven't full grown yet. The brain's not materialized yet fully. All right, I'm meddling again. But I noticed when the little mother hen would have her brood of chicks, she might have 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever following her around. And another mother hen over here, she had just as many about the same time, and they're all following her around. And you might have several like that on a big flock of chickens. But here's one thing about it. They're scattered all over the yard. I couldn't tell one little chick from another. I couldn't tell this chick, that's your mother, unless I saw them together. But when that mother found a juicy worm or an insect, and she'd start clucking, all of her chicks would come to her, not the others. They knew mother's voice. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a little kid noticing that. All the little chicks don't go to that mother that's clucking, just hers. Just hers. When the trumpet sounds, don't the Bible talk about the voice of the archangel? We're going to know the voice. God's going to call his people out. We're going to gather to him. That's right. That's the Bible. And there's going to be a pile of them left behind, and I think, wonder where we went. There's going to be a time, but it could be soon. I'm hoping it's soon because I'm wearing out this old house I'm living in. I sure am. I hope it is soon. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ, because the fellow that's going to take charge of this world is Antichrist. Against everything is right. We're looking around today and seeing we're in the age where good is called evil and evil is called good, like Isaiah said it would be. And isn't that so obvious? I saw a woman professor, so-called, from one of the colleges, arguing with one of the better congressmen the other day. And she was arguing this LGBT queer rights thing. And so he asked her just a few simple questions. And she accused him of the questions he was asking would cause violence against that lesbian queer community. And he said, just asking you to answer some questions, I'm causing violence. She said, yes, don't you believe a man can get pregnant? And he said, no. She said, there it is. So you're instilling violence right there. Now, that is the evil called good and the good called evil. It is so stupid you'd think that but they're doing that. And they're pushing it. And they're pushing it from the youngest grades on up. And I agree with what I heard one fellow say. He said in the old days, and he said it'd still be this way with me, and it ought to be this way. He said, if somebody got my toddlers or got my first and second grade kids and they started talking this trash sexual talk to them, he used a nice word. He said, I think he said it this way. He said what I said to somebody, that bureaucracy years ago, Brother Johnson, you remember this. I said, it will be detrimental to your health. And that's what the congressman said. He said, we'd put knots on his head. Yeah, if he had a head left. Any daddy had come up, caught a guy talking to his kids like they're trying to talk to him in the classrooms right now would have a right to punch him out. Sure he would. And we gotta take a stand on that stuff, folks. Well, you and I are old enough, they're not going to do a whole lot to us before the undertaker gets us. I know that. But we got a crowd coming that we owe an allegiance to behind us. Our grandkids and our young folks and the ones we minister with in church. I would like to think in our Sunday school here, every teacher would see that this is an important issue. We only have a shot at them maybe on Sunday, but let's insulate them the best we can from what they're going to face the rest of the time. And I fear we've slipped in that. I fear we have. All right, you say you're not going to get to 1 John, not much. Let me say this about John in general again. There's seven stages. Some can count eight. Of what we would call growth and development in the Christian life. In other words, you ought to know more now Bible than the day you got saved. If you've been in church 2 years, you ought to know more than you did before you were in church. If you've been a lifetime in church, you got no excuse for not knowing quite a bit. Did you know that? If you've been a good church, and you've got God's word. So we ought to grow. We all think a baby is pretty, but that baby will not be pretty if they never grow. By the way, speaking of babies, I saw the picture of Brother Parsons' grandson. Pretty guy. I'm not going to bet you, but I almost guarantee you, Brother Parsons won't be able to preach this morning without saying something about him. And I don't blame him. I would too. But I went in his office this morning and barred it for a few minutes, and there was a picture right on the middle of the desk of the grandbaby. And so you'll hear about that, I believe. And that's great. Now, if we love them that much, we ought to really care how they're going to grow up. What are they going to be fed, not only physical food, but how are they going to be fed philosophy-wise, scripture-wise, truth-wise? We ought to care about that. And I know we do. But it was a sad day in America when we started trusting the so-called elites to take care of our kids. And our responsibility is clear in the Bible. God's going to hold us accountable. We're the ones. The family's the one that's got the charge from God. Amen. Well, John, in his writings, he's talking about some stages of growth. Again, I'm not going to get to it much, but John, in the family talk that he has, I said he talks about us being in the family as children. And as you read your Bible, you'll find out stages, babies, newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, right? So there's a stage of being a baby Christian. Then you'll read again, and it's talked to John here in his writings, will call us little children. And then that's a stage, I don't know, toddler, whatever, in the faith, growing up, getting more mature in the Word of God and more mature in God's truth. Then you'll find another stage that's just called children. Now, I would say that would be like we'd think about the intermediate department, maybe elementary school. And then after you move from children, you'll move to young men. And you'll find John here as we're going to study in 1 John, talking about young men. And then we think about older than teenagers, maybe. Older teenager, maybe 20, maybe 21, in the Jewish culture, maybe just a year or two older. But young men. And then men, mature men, full grown. And finally, the last category you'll find is elders. Now, some of us like me fit into that last category. We're elders now. Not just elders in the sense of being a bishop or a deacon, but elders in years, birthdays. And Brother Bert was having fun there a while ago, and Brother Cruz. Brother Cruz ran down the aisle and back just to show us he wasn't that old. But when he come by me, I could hear his knee cracking. I'm joking at him. Oh, I'm joking, but the truth is, you can't hold it off, Joe. It keeps coming every day, one stacked on top of another. But the truth is, we, a lot of us, fit into the elders category now on maturity of Christian growth. That's not anything to be ashamed of. In a lot of world cultures, the older people get, the more the young folks respect them as having more knowledge, especially in a lot of the Asian countries. And that's right. That should be. If a man hadn't gone senile and Alzheimer's or whatever you want to call it, look how far down the road he's been. He's bound to have learned some things that the folks just starting out don't know. And so it's not, I said a while ago, old age is not that bad. There's one way I think about it, and you might help yourself thinking like this. Every now and then when I do begrudge, and I do quite often, my mind says, you can do this. My body says, don't touch it. Don't dare. But on the positive side of that, here's a thought I've taught myself to have a little bit. Thank God I don't have to do that again. You know where I'm coming from? I got that behind me. Now, I've been guilty of reaching back and meddling with it sometime when I shouldn't have. But yeah, I don't have to do that again. I don't have to go down that bumpy road again. I don't have to go around that sharp curve again. I don't have to hit that pothole again. I've been there. Now I'm smart enough to dodge it. Call for help every now and then. All right, some of you look like you don't know what I'm talking about, but you're not fooling me. I can tell a racehorse that's kind of old whether I look him in the mouth or not. Amen. We all getting there. We're elders, many of us. And that's okay. That's God's plan. But I don't want to still be a baby Christian. I don't want to be a child. If I've been living long enough, God's going to hold me responsible for growing some, being stronger. Yeah, maybe being wiser. Maybe a little more control of what I say. Maybe a little more control of what I get into and the fixes I get into. All of that is fine. So when John is talking to us here, he's talking to us about family. And then the very last verse of chapter 1, I think you ought to memorize this. We'll look at this. I'm going to read a verse this morning. It says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You ought to memorize that verse. Our sin that paid for on the cross, yes, we go to heaven. But our fellowship, the sin that we have got to stay right on, is to keep close fellowship with God. And the illustration I've already given you was how a child wants to stay in fellowship with mom and dad, and how a strained relationship when we do wrong is created humanly, and so it is with God. You will not pillow your head at night in peace if the Holy Spirit is nagging on you about what you've done you didn't confess to God. Now again, as I have gotten older, often as I think back on this event and this episode and that issue in my life, more than one time, probably daily, I have to say, Lord, I made a mistake there. I could have handled that better. Forgive me. I want to repent of that, Lord. I don't want to face that at the judgment seat. I want you to know I'm admitting now that was wrong. You say, you? Oh, yeah, and you too. And you too. All of us. Might be a family relationship of blood kin. Might be a neighbor. Might be just 100 things, more than that, where the devil made me slip up a little bit here. Maybe not in action, but maybe in thought. All right. I'm going to have to quit before I wind up confessing too much, Brother Vic. Come on here.